The fourth source for Unitarian Universalists is Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I'm going to take that a bit farther. I'm off script here a bit, which is always dangerous. But there is a different way to be a Christian in this world today that is not governed by dogma and by tradition. And that is what I'm representing this morning. So the good news is that Unitarian Universalists can safely embrace the Christian half of the fourth source by paying attention to progressive Christian theology, which I've been talking about here for about 10 years. So this morning is a brief primer. First, I'm going to recommend a couple of books. One is that you read John Dominic Crossan, his book, God and Empire. John Dominic Crossan is probably the foremost progressive Christian theologian in the United States today, and I would say on the planet. But God and Empire, it's readily available from Amazon. And in addition to that, two books by United Church of Christ minister Robin Myers. Robin Myers preaches progressive liberal gospel literally in the belly of the beast in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. His Mayflower United Church of Christ is truly a bright blue Christian island in a very red fundamentalist sea. And Mayflower is one of the largest congregations in the United Church of Christ, which to me indicates that there's hope even in Oklahoma. So Robin Myers wrote Saving Jesus from the Church, How to Stop Worshiping Christ and Start Following Jesus. That's an excellent source. And the second one is called The Underground Church, Reclaiming the Subversive Way of Jesus. So if you're making notes, we'll have a test in the next couple of weeks. So the second point is that progressive Christianity is about radical, distributive justice in this life. It's not about saving souls in the next life. The Jewish people have a very, very long history of wars and occupations. Nevertheless, they believed that God is just and the world belongs to God. So whenever they experienced injustice and political turmoil, they knew that God would act to restore God's justice to the world. Otherwise, God would not be God. So the stories in Mark, Matthew, and Luke were told to show that Jesus was the one sent by God to set things right. Progressive Christians believe that God acted to restore justice through the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul has gotten most of the credit for the development of Christian thought. And in his letters to the non-Jewish Christian communities that he founded outside of Jerusalem back in the first century and all around the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, he says in those letters that God continues to act in the world when we use Jesus' example as a pattern for justice, compassion in our own lives. So in Philippians chapter 2 that I read a little while ago, Paul says, I appeal to all of you to think in the same way that the anointed Jesus did, who although he was born in the image of God, as laid out in Genesis, he did not regard being like God as something to use for his own advantage, but rid himself of such vain pretension and accepted a servant's lot. When Paul uses the metaphor of a servant or slave, he is saying that being a Christian does not mean we are the lords and masters of all we can conquer in Jesus' name. Instead, Paul describes the powerlessness of those who follow Jesus' way. This is not an easy path. It means giving up power as power is usually perceived. In the normal course of civilization, power means power over everything that is a challenge to human survival. Power over the land and its natural resources, power over outsiders, enemies, power over the everyday conduct of life so that order can be maintained and civilization can grow and prosper. But when the distribution of wealth is confined to those who hold the power over healthcare, housing, education, and food, then injustice becomes inevitable. Because access to the basic necessities of life becomes dependent upon the ability to pay. And the system then becomes one of payback and retribution instead of fair sharing. The hope was that Jesus would overthrow that kind of injustice, but that's not what Jesus did. Jesus himself was a victim of the injustice of normal civilization. He died at the hands of the oppressors. 30 years after his death, the Romans sacked Jerusalem. 20 years after the death of the Apostle Paul, disillusioned Christians began to believe that Jesus would come again to bring a violent end to all injustice and establish his kingdom once and for all. Many conservative and most fundamentalist Christians today persist in that belief. But in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says that Jesus gave up all the usual forms of power instead of taking advantage of them or seizing them for himself. Surely he had plenty of opportunity to join the resistance, the zealots, and others who carried out a constant guerrilla war against the Roman occupation. They would be called terrorists today. Quite possibly some of Jesus' followers were members of those groups. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus came up with a very different definition of power. By letting go of the usual expectations and definitions of power, Jesus became such a threat to the Roman Empire that he had to be killed. He said the emperor was not God. He told people that when the Roman soldier or his representative demanded that you carry his gear for a mile, which was the rule, he said, carry it 2 miles, because then you would force the Romans to break his own rule. The threat to empire lies in the subversion of law that happens when people refuse to act in their own self-interest. Jesus said, love your enemies. And when you think about it, to love your enemies means you have no enemies. Paul goes on in Philippians, and this is the part I read earlier in the meditation. So if you know something about being motivated by love, if you know something about the spirit of fellowship and genuine compassion, then make me completely happy by sharing the same attitude, showing the same love toward one another, and being united in heart and purpose. Don't be always thinking about your own interests or your own importance, but with humility hold others in higher regard than you do yourselves. Each of you should keep others' interests in mind, not your own. I appeal to all of you to think in the same way that the anointed Jesus did. When we do that, we inherit the legacy that Jesus left us, which is called the kingdom of God. Or, if you want to use postmodern, non-theistic language, when we abandon self-interest, we step into a kind of parallel universe where distributive justice, compassion rules. Because if I do not demand retribution, but insist upon the kind of radical fairness that preserves the well-being of my enemy, if I allow my enemy to win, I give up even the justice that should rightfully be given to me, and I subvert the whole system. But if I demand retribution and payback, I live in bondage to fear, and I am dead to the possibility of inclusive love. I'm always afraid of what somebody is going to do to me in payback for what I did to them first. First century Paul uses theistic language, God language, because there was no other way to express the unity of spirit that Paul and we can experience in the moment of giving up self-interest, if, in fact, we abandon the whole idea of looking out for ourselves first. A radical abandonment of self-interest applies individually, socially, corporately, nationally, internationally. This is not easy. As the Reverend Dr. Matthew Fox likes to say, it's crucifixion 101. When we abandon our own self-interest, we align ourselves with the creative force for abundant life in the universe, and we are empowered to enter into an unbreakable covenant with that creative force that has nothing to do with any of the things that normal civilization associates with power. For Christians, Jesus is the one who started the restoration of distributive justice compassion. That doesn't mean nobody else did, by the way. And here's more good news. Distributive justice is not exclusively for believers in the Christian religion. Anyone who abandons self-interest participates in that distributive justice compassion and steps into that alternative universe. Anyone who does that becomes a partner with Jesus in the Christ consciousness. You can call it the Buddha nature in the ongoing great work of justice compassion. Jesus is not coming back. It's up to us.